Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life, celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist, and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being here with me today. We are here to celebrate life and to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. We have another great show as always. The theme today is taking the plunge into living the best life possible. We're going to explore topics of nutrition and health, along with claiming and living our true identity. So I'm extremely pleased to introduce my next guest, Sarah Krieger. Sarah is a registered dietitian and nutritionist. Sarah is the national media spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics and the host of SarahRD.TV. She has an amazing show. I love it, and it's thrilling. It's wonderful to watch. She shares so many strategies in it. And we're really happy to have Sarah here today to share strategies with us here today for healthy living. So, Sarah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. That was a very energetic introduction. That was great.
Thank you. And Sarah, I know that diet and nutrition is everywhere. And we really do get inundated with so many messages around it. It is very hard for us to know what is right or what is wrong. There is good fat, there is bad fat, there is low carb, there is no fat diet. It's just overwhelming. I mean, every 2 minutes is a different story, and it gets really confusing. And so we never really quite know what's right, what's wrong. And it's really easy to feel overwhelmed, and I think that can get in people's way of getting healthy, because just feeling like it's paralyzed by too much information and the pressure, or just not knowing what's right or wrong. So how do we weed through all of these confusing messages and information?
Right, and it's no surprise that we all have access to nutrition information, whether it's on our phone, the television, obviously the internet. We can't even watch a video on YouTube without having a pop-up there. You know, so we get so many messages, and what is true and what's false. So I always tell clients to look to see if someone is trying to sell you something, because there are so many diet products, weight loss, supplements, and a lot of people are driven by making money. And unfortunately, that may or may not be along with evidence-based nutrition messages. So look to see if someone is selling you something, and also if they are a licensed professional, whether it's a registered dietitian, medical professional, they're more likely to be giving you credible information than selling you something.
So examples of that would be when we're hearing, like, take this tablet and up goes your metabolic rate and you're saved for life.
Well,
or
exactly. You know, losing 30 pounds in 30 days, you know, is a classic example. You know, different diet trends, most of them cost money. And most people will lose weight, sure, if you are not able to follow it for life. Most people, 90% to be exact, can regain weight once it's lost. So,
right.
But weight management is just one piece of the pie, if you will, when it comes to nutrition. There are so many medical conditions where, you know, whether it's cancer or heart disease or arthritis, childhood illnesses, that people will, you know, they get almost desperate, and which is sad, because it takes a long life and a journey to have a nutritious lifestyle, not just a quick fix.
Well, I mean, even when we see, like, credible doctors, we still get messages about this is the latest, that because once it was no fat, now, like I was talking about earlier, once no fat, and now fat is good. Certain types of fat are good. And it seems like it changes. Like, every little while, suddenly, what was once not good is now good, and what was once good is no good. So that's what I think how do we know what's credible?
Right. So with that, where I'll start with that is vitamins, for example, were only discovered in the early 1900s. Look how far we have come. So nutrition science is constantly evolving. And the amount of research
right.
that is going on now, saturated fat, for example, you know, that started with margarines after World War II, and trans fat seemed like a great idea at the time because, wow, we don't have to spend so much on butter. But oops, oh, it causes heart disease. We learned that in the 80s and 90s when all that research caught up. So that's part of it. The other thing is that there are general nutrition statements like the dietary guidelines, the Choose My Plate, that are for healthy individuals ages 2 and up. And anyone who has a chronic disease or infants, of course, their nutrition needs are going to be different. So that's when I say work with your physician every year, see what's going on in your body, new diagnoses, whether it's high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, and then work with a registered dietitian who can match your unique nutrition needs to what you want to be eating.
I find that what you're saying is very informative because and because it's, I think that's where we get trapped is because, of course, the changing research. But it's like anything else. It's just that research will reveal new things and that what once seemed you can't know it necessarily at the time, and then things become more and more sophisticated. We learn to see where the fallacies are. So really it's about just whatever is – more being revealed to us, we're keeping up with it in terms, but getting it from reputable sources rather than a quick fix source.
Exactly, and sometimes the media will jump on one study, and I always
right.
that's one of the roles that I do for the Academy is we're able to read research and there are only 10 people in that study. Okay, well we're not going to apply that to the general population yet. And then you can have multiple reviews of studies, and that's what, but it takes time. So unfortunately, everybody wants, okay, wow, are we supposed to eat eggs or are not, or aren't we? And to me, it's one food, and you just have to look at the overall diet, not just pick on sugar or eggs or bacon or whatever the food is, but learn how to incorporate small amounts of a wide variety of foods.
So. What's your what would you say would be the healthiest kind of diet for us to for weight, for heart health, our whole sense of self?
So I definitely, like I was saying, recommend everyone get an annual screening from their physician to see if anything's changed. That's step one. But basic
right.
information for most healthy individuals, I always start with fruits and vegetables because it doesn't matter what you have going on in your life and what age you are. And I should say, too, I don't want to say studies, but surveys of what people are eating indicate that we're definitely not getting enough fruits and vegetable servings a day. And I could talk for 2 hours just about that. But, you know, increasing, and again, the variety, not just eating apples, oranges, and bananas, but eating things that are in season will have more nutrition because some vitamins and minerals are fragile and they will deteriorate over time. So if you have strawberries that are grown locally to you, eat those when they're in season, but don't waste your time buying them when they're twice the cost in the winter. So that's really where the first step of added health will be because they're very low calorie. The sugar in fruits and vegetables is not table sugar. You know, it has a different role in the body, and it has fiber. It fills us up, and there's so much information. There's so much nutrition that you can't squeeze out of it and put it in a pill form. So whether you're relying on supplements and saying, oh, I'm getting my fruits and vegetables this way, I would counter that you're not. It's better because you have to eat something. So definitely starting with fruits and vegetables, wide variety, snacks, meals, you can't go wrong there.
So when you are, so what would it be then? Is it, in, so we got the fruits and vegetables. Is it protein, less protein?
No,
like what?
Okay, so now you're like, yeah, Sarah, we're not supposed to just eat fruits and vegetables, right? Okay, so along with that, I always encourage people to see what their breakfast is like because we do, now here we go with research. Research over decades and decades does show that and breakfast really means something within 1 to 2 hours of getting up. So if you work nights, it doesn't matter. It's something. If you get up at 10 a.m., like some of the teenagers I work with, and they eat at noon, it's breakfast. So something with protein, right, will help keep you satisfied a little bit longer, and we know that we're less likely to overeat at the end of the day. The other thing that I see many clients do is not know where their next meal is coming from. They kind of wing it, if you will. And unfortunately, most people wait until they're starved, and then they eat the first thing that they see. So planning ahead, whether it's, if you're going out to a restaurant, fine, but what are you going to have, and how are you going to balance that with your calories throughout the day so that you don't end up with a weight gain at the end of the week? So definitely knowing where your meals are coming from and including a variety of whole grains, lean protein foods, low-fat dairy, healthy fats from nuts, seeds, oils, avocado, and enjoying dessert and alcohol in small amounts. A little bit every day is even fine. And keeping meals happy and positive is also great, too, to prevent indigestion, and, especially with children.
So tell me a little bit about that, keeping meals happy.
Okay,
I work
with a lot of kids, and I teach a program called Fit for All Kids in Florida, and many families don't eat together, which is sad. They eat in different rooms. Eating meals, it seems to be a burden, and also they can have negative conversations. I have 3 kids, and I myself have to remind myself not to talk about homework or what mistakes they did that day. And because, again, people will start to view meals as, I don't want to eat with you, and a negative. Even could lead to eating disorders for young people. So definitely keep, I try to talk about, hey, what are we going to do this weekend? Or, basically just keeping, meals, positive conversation, no lecturing about, hey, you didn't eat all the green beans on your plate, but letting everyone navigate how much they need to eat is just as important as what is served, especially for our young people.
I think that's a really, really important point, and I love it. I think that we don't think about that at all, about what we're creating when we're eating, and that is part of what we're going to associate and connect food and meals to being with, and it has such a profound impact on us. So I think that's a really important point. And I do know from studies that when families eat together, that the children are more balanced, healthier, even when they get to teenagers and are more withdrawn, they tend to do better at school. So there is a lot of incredible benefit from eating together as a family, coming together as a family, and adding that extra lovely element of creating happiness and joy with the family is an important part of bringing that to the table, important the meal. So that's very empowering and a wonderful tip. Can you... because we're kind of getting closing to wrapping up. Sarah, can you leave us with a takeaway tip, something that for the listeners out there that could help them in terms of their nutrition?
Definitely. So everybody wants to change their entire lifestyle in one day, and really encourage people to just maybe make a list of 5 to 10 things that you want to try to improve, and just start with one. If it is the fruits and vegetables, if it's drinking less soda, do one, master it, and move on to something else. And you definitely, there's recipes all over the internet, of course, creating healthy meals. You can find some on eatright.org. That's the Academy's website. And for children, the kidseatright.org has family recipes where you're able to create some really delicious, nutritious meals.
So I think that's very helpful, and I guess just one last thing that I would just want to cover, just as a one final takeaway, because I think this is something that why isn't it, because I mean we're seeing childhood obesity, why is that something that we need to really address as parents, and how can that? And I know it's a big topic, and I'd love to have you back another day for sure to talk about this, because one thing the listeners is that Sarah is going to be joining the Wellness Network, so we will be able to see lots of her, but just as a quickie, because I think that's just one thing that we didn't touch on that I'd love to just quickly
Just talk, yeah, so that definitely, yeah, it's definitely a loaded question and is another topic. The answer is that there is not one exact solution. There are multiple layers of childhood obesity. It takes time to get a child healthy. It's not quick weight loss like for an adult. It's definitely, you know, my goal with working with overweight and obese children is to get them to adulthood a little bit less than where they are now, but also loving their bodies and having a healthy relationship with food so that they don't struggle their entire life with consequences of obesity, heart disease, arthritis, knee surgery at age 25. So getting them to adulthood and keeping them as happy and healthy as possible.
Thank you for that. I think, again, that's a big loaded topic, just want to touch on it just momentarily, and that will be for another day. Sarah, it's been amazing having you. Again, listeners, Sarah is going to be joining us on the Wellness Network, and you'll be seeing her incredible videos, and she has so much to offer and information. Right now, you can connect with Sarah anytime at her website, sarahkrieger.com. That's KRIEGER, and that information is in the link below so that you can go right ahead and click it. And Sarah works with you wherever you are, so find out more about her, check out her incredible videos, and thank you so much, Sarah, for being here with us today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too, hon.
Bye-bye.
Good stuff from Sarah. We really appreciate all of the amazing work that she's doing and the strategies offering us in terms of creating healthy diets and living a healthy life. We have more insights coming. We have Jamie Logie. He's a personal trainer, nutrition and wellness specialist, so we're keeping the focus on our health. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss all the incredible insights from Jamie.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird, and we're going to be keeping on this health theme because it's just so important, and I am pleased to introduce my next guest. He's personal trainer and nutrition and wellness specialist, Jamie Logie. Jamie is here to raise our awareness and how we can make the best decisions for our health and wellness. Jamie, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Dr. Bird. Thanks for having me.
Ah, it's a pleasure. So, Jamie, you know, most of us don't realize that every part of the supermarket, from parking lot to the checkout counter, is designed to make us spend more money to buy more food than we need. We go to the store for meals, and we come away with a pint of Benny and Jerry's, on sale, and or a fresh baguette or chips and salt, like just a can of, you know, soup, all kind of things, which we never intended to because they're actually designed for that. It's like the retail nirvana, so to speak, supermarket. How does that affect our health? Because I think people don't realize this, and so they don't realize how we're getting seduced into compromising our health just in the journey to get food.
Yeah, just the actual setup, if you've ever noticed, every grocery store you've pretty much ever been into, like big chain supermarkets, has that exact same setup. And you might be wondering, like, why are they just lazy in their design or what's going on behind that? But they're set up in a very specific manner with the idea of the retail idea of the longer that you are in a store and exposed to products, the more money you will spend. So when you walk in, the first thing that you get greeted with is usually flowers. There might be a bakery. There'll be produce, like brightly colored stuff. They call this the decompression zone. So it's set up to make you kind of relax, keep calm. It's usually that, you know, sometimes music playing. There's those smells from the bakery, the bright colors. So this decompression zone relaxes you and gets you set up to spend longer in the store and be exposed to more products. So then if you notice this, the layout of the store is there's a big ring that goes around the outside and then all these aisles down the middle. So when you walk around the ring, you get exposed to what they call end caps at the end of the aisle, and that's what has like the sale items, promotional stuff, and the idea is that's to entice you down the aisle. Then that hopefully you go down that aisle, then you go back up the next one, and it creates this funnel system with the idea of exposing you to thousands and thousands of products. And we all know, like, in the grocery store, all that stuff in those aisles is the stuff you don't need. It's all that packaged garbage, manufactured stuff. So the main idea, if you are in a grocery store, is you want to stick to that outer ring at least, because that's where the fresher stuff is, like produce, proteins, stuff like that, everything along the outside. And you mentioned like going in for milk, and there's a reason if every store you go into, the staple items most people go into a store for are milk, bread, eggs, things like that. And where are they? They're buried in the back corner of the store. So you have, if you want to get those things, you got to walk through the entire place, expose yourself to all those products just to pick up those few kind of staple items. So the idea is, like, if you are in those grocery stores, try and stick to the outer rings where the fresh stuff is so you can avoid those center aisles with all that manufactured garbage.
Well, this is just so tremendously enlightening, and I doubt that how many people actually know this or think about this or realize this, although we spend so much time going to the grocery store.
Exactly.
And, like, when you talked about the eggs and the milk and everything being at the back, I'm like, yeah, it's true. I have to walk all the way to the back for the eggs and I have to pass all of this. And
oh,
how many times do I walk to the grocery store thinking, this is just a small shop, and when I come out, it's double the bill that I anticipated.
Exactly. Well, it's another reason, too, why if you've noticed in a lot of stores, they won't – it's harder to find baskets because – they want to encourage you to use a shopping cart because if you're only going to carry or buy as much as you can carry. So they kind of try to push the baskets to the side because once your basket's full, that's pretty much it. You got to go check it all out. But if you have a shopping cart, you can put much more in there. And they've actually made shopping carts around 37% bigger over the last 10, 12 years so that it looks emptier and you have this sort of desire that it's got to be a little more full, that you're not balancing out things enough by having this empty little cart, even though it's actually quite a lot.
I'm laughing. It's not funny, but
no.
You approach it with a sense of like of that like awe.
Yeah, it's
how
supermarket.
Is that then?
Supermarket,
I mean,
yeah. Supermarket chicanery.
Psychology, yes, yes.
Exactly.
It's so informative. And I think it really create, I think, that knowledge, that information, and how we're being conditioned and programmed is enlightening, and then we can deprogram and desensitize ourselves and not get seduced and pulled in.
Yeah.
Obviously, this must be affecting us on a health level.
Absolutely. The thing is, ideally, you want to get away from the grocery stores. Like I said, if you are shopping in them, like I don't know what, you know, everyone's access to different food sources is, but you, like I said, the first thing, if you are using them, you want to make sure, you know, avoid all those center aisles where all that stuff is. Stay to the outer edges where that's realer whole foods, which you want to base your diet around, like real whole fresh foods. So when you're basing it around those real foods, you're getting exposed to that better abundance of vitamins, minerals, nutrients. You're getting good, you know, protein, fiber, all that stuff. So ideally, you want to get away from these grocery stores and try and find places like fresher markets or farmers markets. And depending where you live, they should be easy to find because they're popping up all over the place. So if you even just like Google search farmers markets, like I'll go to these places all the time. I found out there was two within 5 minutes of my house. I had no idea. And I try to get everything as fresh as possible. So I guarantee you, wherever you live, there's going to be some form of a farmer market or a better source of fresh food. And then you know you're getting your food. Like, you're looking at the people who are growing this food. And you know it's probably grown within 20, 30 miles at the most. You know what I mean? You're not – the problem in a grocery store is, like, I might be buying I don't know, like some, even if it's a fresh food, like vegetables or fruits, and they could be coming from the other side of the continent, or they could be coming from, I live in southwestern Ontario. So I might be getting fruits and whatnot that are from down in South America, where I can, in the farmers markets nearby, I could probably bike to where this food is grown. It's that close. So ideally getting to these more, like the purest form of foods you can find, ultimately going to be way better for your health.
Yes, no, that's very, I like the fact that you're enlightening about the choices we can make and the awareness that we can have, because I think that we don't often think of these things or even aware of how they're impacting us.
Yeah.
What are the other impacts of the fact that we are going into the grocery stores and spending all of this? Do you think it affects our health in terms of us eating more foods or buying things that we don't need or are unhealthy for us, and we just overconsume as a result of overshopping?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things. One of the best tips I give like clients, even friends, family, is don't shop hungry. Because when you shop hungry, a lot of your decisions tend to be made in more of a lightheadedness, low blood sugar state, and you tend to buy those, or you tend to crave those, fast-acting carbs or high glycemic choices, so like highly refined sugars, carbohydrates, stuff like that. So that's the problem when you go into these stores is you're exposed to all that. But the first thing is like try not to shop hungry, because that sort of dictates a lot of those unhealthy purchases. But when you are in these grocery stores, I mean, you're exposed to so many things that are brightly colored and packaged and they look good. And if you're shopping with kids, you know how crazy kids will go at like cereal aisles. I was one of those kids going nuts for like the best looking cereal that's made of like cookies or something like that. But these products though are so loaded with things like high fructose corn syrups that just play like absolute havoc on your liver, and they can send your insulin levels through the roof. And they've taken over so many of these products, because when the low fat movement started, they had to remove fat from a lot of those commercial products you see on the shelves. But
right.
Since they were removing all the fat, they had to replace it with something. So they found
right.
that sugar, especially high fructose corn syrup, was cheaper to produce. It can give a bit more of that mouth feel that you miss from the fat. It can have, like, you know, it's good for browning, baking characteristics. But the main thing is it leads to a long shelf life, so there's less spoilage for the manufacturers. The problem is we're eating this stuff that has, like, an indefinite shelf life. So if you think it can last forever, more or less, on a shelf, what that's doing to us. So, like I said, just absolutely playing havoc with your blood sugar levels. And then a lot of these other products have artificial sweeteners or aspartames and things that can cause you to actually, you know, crave even more carbohydrates and refined products down the road, that just makes your battle, if it's weight loss or general health, like it's an absolute, like an uphill battle when you constantly expose yourself to these products that ultimately make you hungrier in the long run. These chemical additives and things are designed to never fill you up, so you're wanting more of them, and then even worse, you're spending more money buying the same garbage.
Well, yes, well, I mean, the picture painted is just dismal, and that's not in any way indicative of what you're saying. I mean, I think it's really important for us to understand this and to be much more aware, rather than just assuming that just because it's on the shelf or it's being sanctioned, that it's okay, that it's healthy. Like, there's just, we need to be a little more or a lot more conscious of what's behind it, what we're eating, what we're taking in, what we're consuming, and how
yeah.
it's affecting our body and its impact on us. Because, of course, not only is it leading to weight gain, but it's also affecting our health.
Yeah. The scary thing is a lot of these, like, huge companies, you know, like Nabisco or Coke or whoever, they don't have to actually disclose everything that goes into their products, which is horrifying, if you ask
right.
me. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, they
yeah.
can list an ingredient as a, say, a natural flavor or a artificial flavor, and they can just list it as artificial flavor. That one flavor can have 40, 50 different compounds that make it up. There's a good example from Burger King has this famous thing with their strawberry milkshakes, and one of the ingredients is artificial strawberry flavor, and that one one ingredient has 50 different chemical compounds that make it up, but you're not going to see that listed on like these packages. And the funny thing with that Burger King thing is there's on all those different like other additives, there's not one thing that has strawberry in it, in an artificial strawberry flavor. So with these, with these manufactured products, like you don't even know what you're being exposed to. Like they're listing stuff that's already, you know, they'll list like say high fructose corn syrup or whatever, which we already know is bad. But a lot of these other chemical additives can contain dozens more things that we're not even aware of and have no idea how it's going to actually impact our bodies. Like a lot of these chemicals are so relatively new, they haven't really been had time to be fully studied, and they're never studied on humans. They're always studied on, you know, lab rats or animals. So we don't even know the long-term effects of some of these like awful compounds.
Well, this is rather disturbing, I must say, but very, very informative because because we have a choice. We're not a slave to this. We don't have to buy into this. So the more informed we are, we don't have to be disempowered. This allows us to be empowered so we can make better choices, and you're giving us alternatives. So as a wrap-up, Jamie, how do we go about it? You've given us some, go to the farmer's market. Is there anything else, you know, be aware of the ingredients? Anything else that you want to, as a takeaway or leave us with as for our gaining knowledge?
Yeah, I'd say, like, the first thing, keep your foods as real and as whole as possible. And, like I say, foods shouldn't have ingredients. Like, you shouldn't, you know, read off a list of ingredients in a food. Like, the foods you're eating are the ingredients that you make for other meals. You know what I mean? You should put them together. And the main, if you're new to getting healthy and well, the main thing is you do want to start out relatively slow. Like, you want to start adding in some of those. If you have a diet that's a lot of, you know, junk food or manufactured stuff or processed, you want to start slowly adding in the fresh, real stuff, because eventually it's going to push away that, like, that garbage. And as you get exposed to real foods, you start to, you know, redevelop those taste buds, and you appreciate what real food actually looks like. So I would say with people, don't try and overhaul your whole health in, you know, 24 hours. Start with a new habit. It might just be like adding in some greens, or getting a salad a day, and just let that build over the course of a week or 2 weeks before you start adding in other new habits. If you take on too much at once, you're going to get really, really overwhelmed. But if you remember basing everything around real whole foods, I'd also say, like, people eat very fast these days. I think you really need to slow down, take your time when you eat. Chew your food properly. You should eat over the course of around 20 minutes to let your natural sense of fullness kick in. Most people eat within 3 to 5 minutes. So you overwhelm your whole system, and you haven't had the chance to feel full, so you can keep eating. You keep intaking more and more calories. If you slow down over a 20-minute period, those natural senses of fullness will kick in, and you'll tend to not overeat. So I'd say just start with those different things. Slow down as you eat, and start exposing yourself to new foods, appreciate them, and start incorporating them in your diet. The more fresh your whole things you add in, the more that junk will get pushed to the side.
Well, that's very informative, and it certainly is something that we can just definitely apply in our lives. So, Jamie, thank you for being here. For the listeners, you can find out more about Jamie at his website, regainedwellness.com. The information is in the link below. Again, it's regainedwellness.com. Jamie has a book, Taking Back Your Health, and he has a podcast, Fitness and Nutrition, for Fitness and Nutrition on iTunes, and it's featured as the number one new and noteworthy one on iTunes. So we definitely, he's a contributing writer. So you really want to check out more about Jamie. He works with people everywhere, so wherever you are, he's accessible. So that's great news. Thank you, Jamie, for your time, your tips, and all of your incredible informative information that you've been able to pass on to us about how we can really get ourselves aware and empowered in terms of living a healthy life.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
So we got lots of information about health from our first two guests, and what a lot for us to know, have in terms of knowledge and wisdom and strategies for creating a healthy life. And we just need to take a quick break, not long, Don't go anywhere. I have more incredible insights from my next guest, author of Undiscovered Horizons, Jim McComb.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird. My next guest is Jim McComb. Jim is the author of Undiscovered Horizons, the ultimate destination of life's most incredible odyssey, which is a unique narrative of his near-death experience and what he experienced when he suddenly awoke in heaven. Jim is going to share strategies for discovering the unique purpose that we are specifically born to fulfill and how we can achieve that purpose during our lifetime. Welcome, Jim. Thank you so much for being here.
Nicola, thank you for having me this morning. It's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, well, I'm fascinated with your work and your book. And a Gallup poll in 92 estimated that about 5% of Americans suffer from near-death experiences. And usually there were certain kind of characteristics. People had peace, body separation, entering into darkness, seeing the light, entering into the light. And in your story, Undiscovered Horizons, you have a near-death experience that had its own characteristics. It was quite unique from this and unlike others, some of the characteristics. Can you tell us exactly what that was like?
Well, it was very different from what you hear others talk about. I actually died on a hospital operating table during emergency surgery. The thing is, when I woke up, I had no recollection of having gone to the hospital or having died or anything like that. The last thing I could remember was going to bed the night before. And I woke up, I was in a room that had the substance and shape and form and everything that any room we might be sitting in right now has. And I had no idea where I was. And usually in a near-death experience, somebody, you know, hovers above their body and they feel as though they've died. And I didn't experience any of that at all. It was just as though I had gone sleepwalking and was in someone else's house, which is actually what I thought happened when I woke up.
What next?
Well,
so anyway,
there was this brilliant sunlight that was coming through the windows, so I couldn't see outside. But I looked around. There were furnishings in the room, table and chairs and things, and there was a door. And I was a bit terrified that when that door opened, there was going to be a homeowner standing there, and I really had no story to give them. But instead, when the door opened, there was a man in the doorway. And I knew immediately that was Christ. He communicated with me, although it was all through, you know, I describe it as telepathy to people, which sounds a little strange, you know, to most of us. But really, it communicated in the same way that I believe he communicates with all of us every day. And that is when we get notions in our mind or we get thoughts that we should be doing this or we shouldn't be doing that, or an idea suddenly comes to us. You know, there's no booming voice from heaven or anything. We just hear that voice in our head, and that's the way he communicated with me the entire time I was there. And he came up to me, and I felt that I wanted to touch him, but I didn't because, well, it's kind of like the Queen of England, you know, you don't touch the Queen. And I figured you don't touch Christ either. But all of a sudden, I got this feeling that it was okay to do that. And so I grazed his cheek with my fingers of my left hand, and all of a sudden I felt myself just morph right into his body, and I found myself looking through his eyes. And what he was showing me were things from my life, some that I remembered, some that I didn't. But essentially what he was showing me were incidents that had occurred in my life that provided me clues as to the reason I was born. And the purpose of all of this, I discovered later, was to teach me and show me that each and every one of us is endowed on the day we're born with a unique personal destiny, something that we are intended to do and fulfill during our years on Earth. And we are the only one who was ever sent to Earth with that particular destiny, that particular thing to do or thing to accomplish. And so he showed me through my life all of the missed clues, I guess, would have shown me what my destiny was.
And what was that like for you? Because you, at that time, you were a senior executive in finance and marketing, and you worked for a Fortune 100 company. So I'm assuming that your life was not anywhere, this was not part of your experience.
No. It wasn't normally. And, you know, I had gone to church my entire life, and my parents had raised me as a Christian. But one thing I had always believed was that heaven was a spiritual place that didn't have any shape or form, and that people there also didn't necessarily have any shape or form. And that's why I didn't realize when I first woke up, oh, this must be heaven. That wasn't my thought, because I wasn't expecting it to be a real place in the sense that we define real. And in terms of looking at all of these little, I call them scenes, but just parts of my life, again, some that I remembered, some that were things I didn't remember. I saw the day I was born, for example, and obviously I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. But it was a real eye-opener for me in that it not only confirmed that heaven is real, uh-huh, for me, but it also confirmed that we're not all here by accident, that there is a reason that you're here, there's a reason I'm here, there's a reason that everyone who's listening to this broadcast is here. And the purpose of me being taken there that day was to show me what my personal destiny was, because up until that point I hadn't gotten it. I had been so busy doing other things in life. You get married, you get a mortgage, you get a job, you get kids, and life gets busy, and you just get caught up in it like most of us do. And my destiny is to help other people find theirs. And I think that's the reason why he felt the urgency to bring me there and show me what that destiny was, because our personal destinies are very critical. One of the things he showed me was the office that I worked in, mm-hmm, that very same day. And all of my coworkers were there. I worked in a finance group at Bank of America. There were about 15 of us in the group. And everyone was at their desk or in their office but me. And that's because, mm-hmm, I was in the hospital that day, although I didn't remember that. And what he said was, when someone is not in their chair at the office, it impacts everybody else, because some of those people have to pitch in and do some of your work, or the customers who would have been served by you that day either get served by someone else or don't get served at all. And when you're not there doing what you are supposed to be doing, when you're supposed to be doing it, where you're supposed to be doing it, it impacts all of life around you. And he told me that's the same thing with personal destiny. If every time someone is born who does not wind up living their destiny, it impacts the world. And I saw that in a very great way. So the critical thing for me was to bring this message back, not only that we all have a destiny, but as I was looking at all of these scenes of life that he was showing me, I was learning that there are clues, there are ways to discover, and he actually took me through five doors to show me what those five clues are. And then the intention was that I would share that with others so they could then get a clearer picture of why they're here and specifically what they're here to do.
Well, of course, that begs that question. How do we then discover why we're here? I mean, you talked about there being many clues that were shown to you, but while you were living your life, your day-to-day life, you were not tuned into that or aware of those clues, so therefore you weren't actually fulfilling it.
Right.
I mean, there are several loaded questions. Did you ever feel, and I'm asking more a question than once, I apologize for that, but did you ever feel like that there was something missing when you weren't pursuing this? Did you ever feel that there was an emptiness or a longing? Did you ever feel that in your day-to-day life that you weren't really living the life you were meant to?
Absolutely. And I think most of us, I think many of the people listening today have probably felt that as well. And it really has nothing to do with success. There are people who are very successful in life. They have a great career. They make a lot of money. They have a nice family, live in a nice home, but yet they feel like, God, there's just something missing. And a lot of times, too, when we get to what I call crossroads events in life, and I've been through many of these, and again, I'm sure you and your listeners have as well, things like when we graduate from school, and be it college or high school or whatever, and the whole world is out there kind of waiting for us. That's a crossroads event. Sometimes, you know, losing something in your life, losing a job, losing your home, perhaps losing a child, losing your self-esteem, those things can bring you to a crossroads where you just say, you know, what is life all about, and why am I here, and why did this happen to me, and what am I supposed to do now? And that's what this whole thing helps with, is when you do have that uncertainty, and probably a great example of that uncertainty is this book. I actually started writing this book 6 years before I had this experience. I had these thoughts popping into my head about destiny and needing to write a book, and I'm the reason it took me 6 years and the book still wasn't out was because I really didn't know what all of that meant, what it had to do with me, and why destiny, as opposed to thinking about, you know, baseball or cooking or, you know, anything else. And so that experience finally brought it home to me, and I realized, okay, this is why I've been working on this book. And it's why I've been struggling, because I didn't realize why I was working on the book. And then after the experience, I literally threw out most of what I had already written down on paper, started over, and I finished the book in a year and a half, and it was published. And, you know, I've been talking to people about this message ever since, and so it finally got out. But these clues, which if we've got time here, I'll mention what those are, so the listeners can jot some things down and maybe begin their own search.
Absolutely, yes, we can condense it, but
we run through those quickly. Okay, well, as I mentioned, Christ took me through five doors, and he showed me these five keys, if you will, and then illustrated those through the things he showed me in my own life. But the first clue is what he called the key of direction, and that essentially is our values in life, those things that drive us, drive our decision making. And you know, most of us have never thought about what our core values might be, but if you really sit down and think, okay, what are the five or six things that seem to shape the direction of my life? And you know, those core values might be things like faith. They might be things like wealth or finances. They might be things like tradition. I make decisions because I'm kind of traditional, and I think about the past. And then also what I call life drivers, and these were actually things that I developed in research in my consulting firm, but they're essentially are five things that drive every decision we make, and that's hopes, dreams, visions, fears, and aspirations. And so, if your listeners think about those words, then they think back even to just the decisions they made yesterday. What's an example of a decision you might make out of fear? Well, you buy insurance. I'm afraid I'll get in a car wreck someday, or I'm afraid I'll die too soon and my family won't have money, or I'm afraid my lawn will die, so therefore I'm going to fertilize it today. Aspirations. I decide to go back to college and pursue a degree in something because I aspire to be an accountant or a hairstylist or whatever the case may be. So that's the first thing to really examine in your life. The second is what Christ called the key of attraction, and that's passions and pastimes, those things that you find yourself spending a whole lot of time doing or reading about or researching on the internet. It's hobbies, it's articles, it's things that you're drawn to, and in many cases, you don't even know why. Many of my passions and interests, if I had to tell you where that came from, I'm not sure I could. It's just, I'm interested in that. I like that. I'm drawn to that. And again, that's something I think most of your listeners would find pretty easy if they just sat down and thought for a minute, okay, what are those things that I'm just compelled to want to do or learn about or find out more about or spend time reading about or spend time doing? The third thing is the key of opportunity, and that essentially is the chance encounters, coincidental opportunities that drop into your life. A chance encounter is a person you meet, and when you think about, well, I live in Los Angeles. There are 15 million people in the greater Los Angeles area. And in any given day, what are the odds that I'm going to meet you? They're pretty slim with all those people. Yet there are people that, because of circumstances, I'm in the right place at the right time. I made a decision to attend this particular meeting or to do this particular activity or to sit next to this particular person. And there are certain people that when you meet them, and I know everyone will get this when they hear this, there are certain people that when you meet them, you just feel something a little different. Wow, this is right. A person that maybe has something to give me, or I have something to give them. You know, we all meet a lot of people in the course of the day, and we don't think anything about it, but... So that's the chance encounter, coincidental opportunity.
We're wrapping up soon, so we could, that's the fourth one.
Oh, okay.
So we could just,
well, The next one is the key of inspiration, and it's those persistent notions that just keep bugging you, like the notion of destiny kept bugging me. And the last one, the most important, is the key of inheritance, and that's the intrinsic gift that you are given the day you're born, that you are really, really good at something. And that is true for all of us. And there are people in your life who have observed that and told you, Nicola, you're a very good speaker, or you're a very good organizer, or you're an incredibly good singer, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And when you stop and think about that, you realize, I never took a class to learn how to do that. I never took lessons. I never hired a coach to show me how to do that. I just knew how to do it, and I'm very good at it.
Right.
And your destiny is the string that runs through all five of these things. So,
you've given us so much to consider, so much to think about, and so much to reflect on and consider in terms of our who we are, our destiny, and our purpose on this earth, which I think is what we're all searching to realize. And so this is very helpful and certainly a lot of insight. So thank you so much, Jim. And for all the listeners out there, you can find out more about Jim at his website, undiscoveredhorizons.com. It's in the link below as well. So again, that's undiscoveredhorizons.com. And you can pick up his book and find out more about it there as well, and that's his book, Undiscovered Horizons. Thank you so much, Jim, for being here and offering us all this insights and all of your wisdom.
Thank you, Nicola. It's been a pleasure.
Many blessings. We've had another amazing show, and we've really gained so many insights again into creating an amazing life. And we are really, just the more informed we are, is the better we can create amazing choices for us to live the incredible life that we deserve. This is Dr. Nicola Bird. You can get more insights into how you can lead your best life possible at my website, thewellnessnetwork.com. That's thewellness-network. Join my mailing list, share the joy with your friends and families, and keep in mind, you sometimes have to go out on that limb to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life that you deserve. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.